we heard in the epistle and gospel of two bookends, as it were, on the earthly ministry of Jesus. We heard about one man in the gospel, John the Baptizer, John the forerunner, who came and prepared the way for Christ. We also heard in the epistle from another man, St. Paul, who came after Christ. These two individuals frame, or are as bookends, upon the earthly ministry of Jesus. And I think it's important to review again the words of St. Paul here. St. Paul says at the end of his life, he is writing his second epistle to Timothy. He's in prison. This is during his second imprisonment in Rome, at which we know, according to the tradition, he will be martyred for the faith shortly after writing this epistle. And you can hear in this epistle that he knows that that martyrdom is coming. He says, "My son Timothy, be watchful in all things. Bear with tribulation patiently. Work as a preacher of the good news. Fulfill your ministry. As for me, I am already being poured out in sacrifice. And the time of my deliverance is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have completed the race. I have kept the faith. For the rest, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the just judge, will give me on that day. Yet not to me only, but to also all those who have loved his coming." John the Baptist came and prepared the people for Jesus. He was the conduit through which Jesus was revealed to the people. When John saw him at the river, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And immediately, even some of John's disciples began to follow Jesus. You remember this story in John's Gospel. John came and prepared the way for Jesus into the lives of the people of Palestine of that time. John was the conduit, the doorway through which Jesus was revealed to the people. St. Paul, after the earthly ministry of Jesus, comes on the scene in Acts of the Apostles, first as a persecutor of the church, and then, due to his conversion, becomes the great apostle to the Gentiles. And goes out into the world over a series of journeys. We think five, but we're really not sure. There could have been more. At least five. Converting countless individuals, baptizing, founding churches. He wrote half the New Testament. St. Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles. And at the end of his life, he can say, "I finished the race. I've kept the fight. I've kept the good fight. I've fought it, and I've kept the faith. And now there is only waiting for me the crown of righteousness." Are we a conduit through which Jesus comes into the world? Are we a forerunner of Christ in our neighborhood, in our family, in our workplace? Does the guy in the cubicle next to you know that you're even a Christian? I don't know. How are we in our neighborhood, in our workplace, in our family, among our friends, being the image of John the Forerunner, the one who prepared the way for Christ into the lives of others, the one who pointed out Jesus Christ and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who will take away your sins." This is why John the Baptist is always on the iconostasis or on the wall or wherever you have him. He always has his hand up. He's always pointing to Christ as a remembrance of that role he had. Are we like John the Baptist in our neighborhood, in our workplace, in our life? If we are, then we will be able to say, when our end comes near, as St. Paul says, who has lived his life as a Christian, as a doorway through which Christ is revealed to those around him. We will be able to say, like St. Paul, as we feel our end drawing near, "I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And now only one thing remains, a crown of righteousness which Christ himself, the great judge, will bestow upon me." Will we be able to say that? Will we be able to say that at the end of our life? This is a question that we each need to ask ourselves. How am I right now living the life of John the Baptist? How am I right now living the life of a forerunner of Christ? Am I the source through which Christ's light shines into the world around me? Am I the light? Am I the source of the light? If so, then we will be able to speak as St. Paul does at the end of his life, just before his martyrdom. Now, you might be saying, as I'm thinking in my head right now, "I'm not quite sure if I've done that. I'm not quite sure if yesterday, the day before, even today, I have really been a forerunner for Christ and the lives of the others around me. I'm not quite sure right now if I were to come to my end," which we never know the day or the hour, "I'm not quite sure right now if I would be able to say with St. Paul, I've kept the faith. I've run the race. And now only remains for me a crown of righteousness to be bestowed." Some people who are older might think, "Well, that time is coming near for me." And some people live a long time. Some people who are young often think, foolishly, "That time is not for a long ways off." And we all know those who have died young. And so what we need to be is ready every day of our lives. We should every day of our lives be able to say, "I have been a conduit through which Christ has come into other people's lives." We should be able to say every day, "I have run the race. I've kept the faith." But if we can't say that, because we are all humans and we all fail, then we have New Year's resolutions. How many of us have made a New Year's resolution? How many of us have made a New Year's resolution? "Oh, I don't make those. They never work." Of course they don't work. Because we typically try to accomplish one of these resolutions without Jesus in our lives. Or we maybe have the wrong motivation. But let's this year look at our New Year's resolution in light of what we just heard about the life of John the Baptist and St. Paul. Maybe our New Year's resolution this year should be to change our lives so that at any moment If Christ calls us, we can say before we close our eyes from this world and open them to the next, that I have run the race that was put before me. I've kept the faith. I've been a conduit through which Christ's light could shine into the world of those around me, like John the Baptist or St. Paul. How can we do that? Well, God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we too are made in a triune fashion. We are body, mind, and spirit. Body, mind, and spirit. You could also say body, soul, and life, or intellect, and different ways to talk about these three aspects to our existence. But we need to engage all three of these parts of our existence if we want to be successful in anything, especially in the goal that we just laid out before us. How do we do that? I want you to set three goals, three New Year's resolutions today. Three? I tried one last year and it didn't work. Well, how about three then? At least you get one, right? So, three. And they relate to your nature. This year, I want you to think about your body. How can you improve your health, your bodily health? There are various ways. I don't recommend going and getting a membership at a gym. It's usually a waste of money. But figure out some way to improve your bodily health this year. Something small. If you set the goal too high, you won't accomplish it. If you decide today you're going to go out and run 5 miles every morning, and you're not a runner, well, you'll get about a mile out the front door tomorrow, and that's it. But if you do not exercise, then tomorrow, get up in the morning and go walking. Either before work, if you don't have to go to work tomorrow, God bless you. Or maybe in the afternoon or the evening when you come home, go for a little walk. Make it a goal that maybe when you go shopping at the grocery store or Costco, that instead of looking for the closest parking spot, look for the one farthest away. Look for opportunities for a little bit of exercise. Another way to improve bodily health, as you know, is to change our diet a bit. Some of us might be eating just a little too much butter. Right? Maybe try cutting back. Maybe decide we're not going to have butter in the house. We're going to have just olive oil. Right? Or you decide, instead of eating red meat 3-4 times a week, maybe just boneless, fatless, skinless chicken breast. Something like that. Choose some small thing you can do. Maybe even both, your diet and exercise. Something very small, a very small thing you can do that will have a massive change at the end of the year. Just changing one little thing in your diet. What you eat for lunch each day. Whether you snack in between meals and what you snack on. Something small. Choose something small that you know that you really shouldn't be doing, or maybe not doing so much of. Decide today that you're going to change that. And also, if you're not used to exercising, again, decide in some way to add a little bit of exercise to your day, your daily routine. This doesn't mean you need to go running every single morning. No, it might be you say, well, on Monday through Friday, while I'm at work, during lunch break, I'm going to walk around the parking lot once. Or maybe on the way to work, if you work in a multi-story building, you're going to take the stairs in the morning on the way up and the stairs on the way down when you go home. This is something very small. but can have a huge effect 1 year later on your health, all sorts of benefits. If you don't believe me, talk to your doctor. That's your body. Okay, something small, not too big that you're going to immediately fail at or say, I just can't do that. Something very small that you say, I can do that. That you have confidence you can accomplish, and at the end, something small becomes something very big. Second, your intellect, your mind. How can you improve your mind this year? Read a book. Decide that you're going to read a book this year. You may not read books. If you're a book reader, well, maybe change up the level of reading to something a little higher. We have a wonderful selection of books in the hall, on the table, and on the bookshelf at very reasonable price. Those are all at cost. We don't make any profit off those. So pick up one of those books, look through them, find one that you think, hey, that's kind of interesting, and sit down and read it this year. You will find that if you improve your health bodily, it will have an effect on your intellect. If you're exercising a little bit, you're going to have a little more energy to stay awake to read a book. Third, your spirit. Prayer. Prayer is our conversation with God. Married couples that are here, do you talk to each other on a daily basis? Maurice, do you talk? What happens if a couple days go by and you don't talk? Can you imagine it? You can't imagine it. When you were in Lebanon not too long ago, did you call?
Maybe.
Of course. Right? You love your wife loves you, and you want to maintain that relationship. Can you imagine a husband going for a week without talking to his wife, and the wife likewise, in the home? What do you think is going to happen to that relationship? You think it's going up or down? Your relationship with God is the same. Do you have a sibling that you maybe speak with more than your other siblings? Maybe a brother or a sister that you've developed a relationship closer than your other siblings. You may be genetically related to your other siblings the same as with this particular sibling. But this one in particular, because you speak with them on the phone regularly, you've developed a close relationship. Now, when we're talking about having a conversation, we're not talking about texting just one way, okay? Imagine having a conversation with a sibling or a friend, and all it is one-way texting. Every few hours, you text a message off and never get anything back. And then next day, you text something and never get anything. Is the relationship going to develop? No. There has to be a conversation. Right? It has to be together. Hopefully more than just texting. Often we approach prayer. You say, oh, well, I pray. Every day I pray in the morning when I wake up. Well, how is our prayer? Is it a text message? And we don't wait around to hear the response? What we need to do in our prayer is set aside a quiet time during the day, every day, in which we can be alone and talk to God and allow Him time and enough peace in our lives and our soul to talk back to us. I pray, but God never answers my prayers. I don't know what He thinks. Well, have you ever listened? You have to sit quietly. As St. Elijah the prophet at Mount Sinai, he heard the Lord's voice, not in a massive fire or a storm or an earthquake, but in a little whisper. And so we need to have quiet time in our life. Even the secular world will tell you this. Meditation, it's the thing today, right? It's been around, or it's been an exciting thing in the world since the 80s at least. Meditation. The doctors are all agreeing that meditation is good for your heart. It's good for your health. People who meditate every day will be better off. You'll be stronger. You'll make more money. You'll be greater. What is it? Well, you sit quietly, real quiet, in a quiet place, and you think about something which is a peaceful thought. Oh, that sounds nice. Try a peaceful thought like God, your Heavenly Father who loves you. That's real meditation. Find a quiet time in the morning. The morning is often a good time to do this. Quiet time by yourself when you can pray. We've talked about prayer before, and just a quick reminder, prayer is always triune. You thank God for what He has done, who He is, you praise Him. Second, you confess your sin for not living up to what you are supposed to be. So first you acknowledge who God is, and then you acknowledge who you are. That's two. And then three, then you ask for what you need. Often by the time you get to that one, it's different than what you might have had at the beginning if you started it the other way around. We usually do it the other way around, right? Oh Lord, I need that Maserati. Then, I know I really don't deserve it, but You are a great God, and I know You love me. Now turn it around. You might be asking for something else, right? By the time you get to that third part. And so, three ways to improve our lives this year. To make us a better conduit through which Christ's light can shine in the world. So that at the end of our life, whenever God calls us, we can say, I've run the race, I've kept the faith, and now there only awaits for me a crown of righteousness. How is that? Through your New Year's resolution that hopefully will last more than a year. Improving your body, improving your mind, and improving your spirit. And in this, and through this, let our lives glorify Jesus Christ with His eternal Father, as all holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, and to ages of ages. Amen.